let the exile come, let the stranger come, let the weary come find rest. All you homeless sons, all you widowed ones, all you poor and disposed, for a table waits in your Father's house. There the meek can come and eat. There's a place of rest at your Father's breast, where His mercy is complete.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you're here visiting with us today, a special welcome to you. It's always great to see visitors and guests, and welcome. And just a reminder that you came on a great day because we're having a light lunch following worship. So don't hesitate to stay behind. We'd love to see you there. Join us for lunch and refreshments. Also, just a word to those who might be here with young families. If you have smaller children and they need to get up from time to time and move around a bit, that's certainly okay. There are some items in the back corner that might be helpful as a distraction if that's necessary from time to time. We're glad to have you here with us. Just a quick word about the time when we'll make communion. Of course, if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you make communion in your home church, you're encouraged and welcomed to do that here. We'll make two lines up the center and return to our seats by way of the side aisles, and that'll help our facilitation. Currently, we're not administering communion by way of intinction, which means dipping the bread in the wine. So if it's your wish only to have communion in one kind, that is the bread only, you're certainly welcome to simply bypass the chalice, the cup. If you're seeking only a blessing when you come up, placing your arms this way will indicate that to the administrators. And if you're in need of gluten-free host or bread, please just ask for that, and we have that available. Just a note that Debbie, our bishop's wife, was taken to hospital again on Friday, and it would seem that she's had a recurrence of the illness that she had in Africa, so we've been asked to pray for her. As of yesterday, I don't think she was in a room yet. I think she's still in emergency. Is that?
She got moved to a room this morning.
This morning,
and
did
it's
she?
Actually, C. difficile, not E. coli.
Is she some better?
Yes, but she's isolated.
She's isolated.
It's not E. coli. It's C. difficile.
Oh, okay.
She has.
All right. Yeah. So. Things are moving on there, but if you could remember David and her in your prayers, that would be appreciated. I regretted it this week, having received the resignation of Diane Wilkins as our Safe Church officer. So we do want to say a word of thanks to Diane for her help during the last while in her attempts to help us become safer, but at the moment that position is open. But thank you, Diane, for your assistance in that during that time. Also, just to remind you that Lenten programming is going forward as scheduled. If by chance you are looking to take part in the study on Tuesday afternoons, which is a look at the lectionary readings for the coming Sunday. We meet at 2:30 in the boardroom. We also have an online option, and I have printed materials here for that if you're interested in picking those up. If you are planning on joining online, you should get in touch with me, and I'll give you the information for the link. But you're certainly welcome to just come and drop in 2:30 on Tuesday afternoons at the Memorial Hall in the boardroom. And just a reminder that today is our annual meeting. We're hoping to begin at about 12:30. It isn't expected to be a long meeting, so don't hesitate to stay behind. We'd love to have you here. And as I say, we'll start about 12:30, and we'll have lunch before that. And just a reminder that we're still looking for one member of bishop and chapter, although it's not possible for the congregation to elect that person. It's going to have to be a bishop's appointment. But if you would be interested in volunteering, or if you have an idea of someone you would wish to nominate for that, we would be more than interested in hearing from you. We're also looking for five nominations for the position of Synod Delegate in 2025. And Michelle is going to speak to us just briefly about the new AED. And as she comes forward, is there anything else that needs announcing? Thank you, Michelle.
Good morning. I'm just briefly going to speak to the fact that we are very pleased to be able to share with you, and many of you know between the Cathedral website and the bulletin that we now have a second automated external defibrillator, or an AED. This one is in Memorial Hall over the first aid box near the dishwasher. And as you know, we have also one here at the back, just again left to the of the refreshment area, and right alongside it is the first aid kit. The AED offers the best outcome for survival if you're dealing with a heart cardiac situation. Always call 911. But the AED will give you clear, concise, loud instructions once you activate it. So there's no worries about you're going to do something wrong or I don't know how to use it. It will tell you exactly what to do and when to do it. So if it doesn't tell you to do it, don't think, oh, should I do it? No. It tells you what to do. So if you would, please take a moment and just watch a short video on the Cathedral website or on YouTube that will just give you a quick little showing of how you can use it. Thank you to a generous donation from a Cathedral family and to you all through the Health Ministry for allowing us to finally have a second one in the hall. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, and you're right. It is loud, and it's very directive. So you can't hurt anyone with an AED. You're told very clearly what to do and when. So it's something that we're really fortunate to have. And again, thanks to those individuals who made particular donations toward that. It's a very worthwhile item for us to have at the Memorial Hall and as well here. This morning we're worshiping according to the Come Worship style. Most everything that you will need you'll find on the blue colored insert. And we'll begin with the invitation to worship. And as we do that, I'll ask you to stand. Words from the appointed psalm today, Psalm 27. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in God's temple. O come, let us worship.
Space, my fears and our dreamings, brought into you in the light of this day.
Almighty God, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us faith to perceive his glory, that being strengthened by his grace, we may be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved, the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of the Lord.
How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So in the gospel, it appears that the warning of the Pharisees is unique to the gospel of Luke. The lament over Jerusalem is also found in the gospel of Matthew. What's interesting is why Luke adds the warning in such close proximity to the lament. Luke writes, "Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.'" How often our assumptions color what we hear from Scripture. How often do we assume that the Pharisees were a homogeneous group, all with similar political views, depth of commitment, politics, or ideology? That's an assumption we cannot and should not make. I was reminded this past week by one of our number that it's wrong to thoughtlessly assume we all share similar political views. In these days of significant political turmoil, it would do us all good, I think, to hold in check the careless expression of political opinion. It just divides us, and it makes those who disagree with us uncomfortable. And I see that applying perhaps most of all and first of all to me. But making assumptions can lead us down paths and to destinations from which it can be difficult to return. If we don't read Luke carefully, we might miss that he says, "Some Pharisees said to Jesus." It was not all the Pharisees that saw fit to warn Jesus about Herod. Some obviously saw danger for him. Others may have welcomed efforts to silence him. It's not unreasonable to think that some Pharisees were sympathetic to him. Still, others could easily have been standing on the sidelines waiting to see if what was happening with Jesus was actually from God or not. The Pharisee Nicodemus, John's gospel tells us, met privately with him. And John later reports that he is very much involved with Jesus' burial after the crucifixion. So I'm not sure why we assume that the times about which we read in Scripture were any less complicated than our own. In fact, in many cases, they were much more so. And that's part of what often makes reading and interpreting the Bible such a challenge. Luke 13:31-35 highlights the multiple cross purposes between Jesus and the day in which he lived. Jesus laments over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets. And like those same prophets, Jesus was up against the powers that be. The religious establishment, the church councils, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the occupying Roman forces, the client king of the day. And like a mother hen, he would have gladly gathered his brood about him, but they refused protection. And you know, where chickens are concerned, foxes are one of the major predators. But there are other dangers as well. Fire is another one. A news story once told about a ruthless farm fire where several chicks were found miraculously alive amidst the rubble of a barn, hiding safely under the wings of the burned and charred body of their mother hen. There's safety there. And Jesus' mission is to save. His message was prophetic. Repent. Prophets of old had warned and wailed over wayward Jerusalem, wayward Israel, and they were killed for it. Expressed here is the longing to protect, to save from the enemy. And the enemy may be one using power unjustly, may be the one complacent, or even complacency itself. During the War of 1812, it's reported that Commodore Oliver Hazard Perry sent a message after the Battle of Lake Erie. It read, "We have met the enemy and they are ours." A Pogo cartoon in the 1970s later quoted, "We have met the enemy and he is us." And it's so true, we can be our own worst enemies. We can say, "We have met the enemy and it is us." The enemy is whatever isolates us, separates us from each other and from our God. The enemy is sin. And that perhaps is the Lenten call with which we are most familiar. Lent is a season of honesty and confession, repentance, and turning around, which is what the word repent means, to turn around. And we often get that wrong. Repentance is not a feeling or an attitude. To repent is not to regret wrongdoing. To repent is an action, and it literally means turn around. The Protestant Reformation of the 16th century brought with it many critiques that led to needed reform of Christian religious faith and practice. Along with that was a renewed emphasis on heartfelt and sincere confession, adherence to an understanding of Scripture as the Word of God, the need for personal responsibility and first-person participation in faithful living. As is often the case, with wholesale and sweeping change of any kind, there's always the danger of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And of all of the Christian denominations, what makes the Anglican Church unique, I think, was the valiant attempt to bring necessary reform to recover the historical Christian faith without leaving core values and practice behind. But one of the casualties of the Reformation may be related to a misinterpretation, a leaning toward thinking that faith of the individual is at the expense of the community. Healthy communities are not just conglomerates of like-minded people. Focus on the individual makes it easy to overemphasize judgment. And once we realize we're not so different from everyone else, judgment can often eventually turn into judgment of ourselves. And faith is not just about us. It's certainly not just about how we feel. Repentance is not a feeling. We do repentance. Turn around and go in a different direction. And evidence of Reformation leanings are clearly embedded in our historical liturgical texts. And I think many perhaps misinterpret the definition of repentance. And in that light, it makes our own liturgical texts difficult, thinking somehow that the purpose behind them is to cause regret. There's danger if the Book of Common Prayer seems only to be calling us to wallow in our own sinfulness. It could seem as if we are being instructed to feel nothing but unworthy. We do not presume to come to this thy table. We confess our manifold sins and wickedness. Most grievously committed by thought, word, and deed, we are not worthy. We have strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. There is no health in us. Now, to an extent, that was language of the day. But there's also an opportunity for some misinterpretation going on there. Because if we hear the prayer book insisting, as many often do, that we are to woefully regret who we are, then I think we're hearing it wrong. Because the words are invitation. They are a call to repent, to turn around from the ways that come far too naturally to us. And they do come naturally. We are being called to be conscious and aware that fallen human nature causes us to wander away. We're not worthy by our own merit, it is true. But God makes us worthy. And that's the good news. But without intentionally walking in God's way, we don't. For humans, from the playground to the largest business corporation, selfish individualism is our go-to. Minds set on earthly things, and our end is destruction. So without vigilance, without effort, without repentance, we can't be what God would have us be. The God who made you and me built us from the ground up and knows what you and I are capable of. Capable if we but love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with God. Love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with God, as one of the prophets once put it. What we're capable of with the power of God working in us is infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Our citizenship is in heaven. St. Paul told the Philippians. So the good news is always we can change. Jesus pauses on his journey to Jerusalem and takes time to weep over his beloved. Today, he may well also weep over us. How often have I desired to gather your chicks together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. He doesn't insist on perfection. Rather, he demands repentance. Turn around and turn away from that which comes all too naturally. Though Jesus' words reveal a longing, maybe even a sadness, they are not about impossibility. The only bad news is ours. The good news is that his belief in us is greater, quite often, than our belief in ourselves. We need not remain in our sin. We can change. We can repent. Amen. You're welcome to remain seated if you like, and we'll turn to page 2 on the blue leaflet. And there at the bottom of the page on the left-hand side is an affirmation of faith, and we'll read together. Into the silence of the void the Creator spoke, and the world came into being. The Word of God in the vastness brought light from darkness, matter from nothing, flesh from dust, life from lifelessness. In the quiet of a small town in Palestine, the Word of God came to us. Even though of one being with the Creator, Jesus our Christ, taking on human form, was born, lived, and walked among us, speaking the words of life. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He rose from the dead and speaks to us today. He is the one who saves us from ourselves. In the stillness of our souls, the Spirit of God, who is one with the Creator and the Christ, whispers the word and calls us back to the Creator, back to the Christ, back to the wholeness of everlasting life in the unity of the Creator, Christ, and Spirit. Amen.
As we remain seated, we come to our prayers. The response to Lord in your mercy is hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers to you this day in the knowledge that through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be heard and that you will answer our prayer. Almighty God, as we pray for our church in these so very uncertain times, help us in our time of fear and worry. Constantly remind us and fill us with the hope of the reward of everlasting life that we can expect through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us as a church to avoid the temptations of the world and dilute the gospel message. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Church of the Province of Central Africa, Archbishop Albert Chama, Primate and Bishop of Lusaka. In our provincial cycle of prayer, we pray for the Ecclesiastical Province of Ontario, Archbishop Anne Germond, and the Provincial Council. We pray for our Archbishop of Fredericton David, for all clergy and laity in our diocese, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, all will be led with strength, courage, and humility. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Creator God, we pray for the world, its peoples and leaders. We thank you for all the wonders of the world, which belongs to you but was given into our care at the beginning of time. Help us to be good stewards, always mindful of the tragic consequences of our lack of care. We pray for a very unstable world at this time. We remember those countries that at this time are at war and people are facing the loss of their families, their homes, and stable life. As we remember world leaders, we ask that our new Prime Minister in Canada, Mark Carney, will have the strength, courage to seek justice and peace for all. We pray that the Holy Spirit will change the hearts and minds of leaders to seek the best solution for the good of our planet Earth. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Father God, the psalmist tells us to seek your face in the people whom we live amongst. May they too, as they come upon us, see something of you and of your Son, Jesus Christ, shining from us. Make us always a beacon of faith as we live in the gospel, lift the gospel out in all our words and actions. We pray for those in our own cathedral community who are seeking confirmation and recommitment to our church. We pray for our annual congregational meeting today, that with clarity, wisdom, and courage, we come to the right decisions for our church here. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, we raise before you those we know and love who are ill or in need at this time, and we pray for all who care for them at home or in hospital. And we pray particularly today for Donna, Jim, Charles, Jean, Sasha, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David and Janice, Matthew, Dolph, David and Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, and Debbie, and any others that you care to name, either silently or out loud. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for those who have died, especially those who have died recently, and for all who mourn their passing. May they rest in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, as we go out into the world today, help us to resist temptation, remembering that your son was tempted by the world and the devil, but chose faithfulness over popularity, service above fame, and sacrifice instead of power. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
By our own effort and by our own merit, we are not worthy. In Jesus, God makes us worthy. And he asks us to come before him in words of confession. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? With humble hearts, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, you have made us citizens of heaven, but we confess that we have set our minds on earthly things. We have let our love of things dull our generosity to the needy. We have let our craving for public status prevent our honesty about hidden sins. Yet you know the desires of our heart, and nothing is hidden from you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, conform our weakness, that we may be the body of Christ. Amen. Have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you stand, please? The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
God of wisdom, may the light of the eternal word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guide us to your glory. We ask this in his name. Amen. During the Great Thanksgiving, the Eucharistic prayer, you're welcome to remain standing, or you may wish to be seated, or if you would like to kneel, you're welcome to do so. In this prayer, we offer to God our thanksgiving and praise for all that he gives us, for creation, for his Son, Jesus Christ, and for the gift of his Holy Spirit who calls us into his body. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you, and so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to be in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
God creator, Father,
And as we stand, let us pray. Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you for these holy mysteries which bring us now a share in the life to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The God of reconciliation bless you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you, and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen you this day and forevermore. Amen.
And now I'd like to invite the children to come up and bang and shake things. All are welcome.
This is a great song. You're going to want to come and bang and shake.
Yeah. Oh, we've got a good crowd.